so remarkable to me is that the journey from here to there takes so long. It can be conceived of taking a whole life. It can be conceived as taking many lifetimes. And even the idea of the journey from here to there seems for so many people like a meaningless idea. The problem is there is no there. There's only here. And the extraordinary mistake of most people's lives is they're trying to get there and failing and blaming themselves for the failure. A friend of mine wrote me recently about his failure to accept health. He's in ill health and blames himself for not really wanting to be healthy. And most of us, most of us blame ourselves for something or another and walk around carrying enormous levels of disappointment and guilt and insufficiency and dissatisfaction and unhappiness and some sense of having failed on some level. But it's all an illusion. None of that stuff really exists. Failure doesn't really exist. Success doesn't even really exist. The closest one gets to success or failure is have you awakened to the truth of this moment? And most people have not. It doesn't mean they're not in the moment. It doesn't mean they're not present here. It just means they don't know they are. And the whole goal of a spiritual teaching and of a spiritual teacher is to just take everyone and go, here, here. Stop being deluded by your need to be there. Just reside where you are. Just be here. And of course, the problem in saying that to anybody is that they will come back at you and say, but here is really unpleasant. Here is full of all of my insufficiencies and all of my sadness and all of my anger and all of my failures. But it's not true. Here is full of you, of your presence, but your failures and your insufficiencies, if they existed at all, are past tense. Your true fear is future tense. The present moment has none of that in it. None of that at all. Your entire life story evaporates in the present tense. When you really become completely here, there is just this. Now, this can be colored by elements of your story, whatever elements are at play in this moment. But really, the only elements that have real prominence in this moment are the ones you bring into it. And it's possible to bring in all of your suffering right here. Oh my God, I've had the worst life and all these things went wrong and they don't love me and I'm not going to get this and that won't happen. You bring it right into this moment. Yeah, then it's really painful. Or you think, my future is going to be full of pain and I don't know what's going to happen and there's uncertainty and I'm terrified and all of that. You bring all that into this moment, there it is, front and center. All of your misery with you now. But if you can ask for help to surrender and let go of your past and your future, let go of all of your stuff, essentially lay down the burden of you, which is what surrender is about, there you are without any of that stuff. In this very moment, you are liberated. Every one of you is liberated. Every one of you is free in this moment. The only thing that makes you not free is your habit of bringing in all of your garbage into this moment. And why do you bring it in? Because it's familiar. Because you really care about all of your shit. You don't want to let it go. Or you think you can't let it go. You think it's not possible to let it go. But the gift of meditation is that you can go inside into, pick your heart chakra. You can go right here, and if you're brave enough to sit through the noise of your brain saying, there's other things to think about and worry about and to get engaged in, and just sit through that. And just keep this wish going, I wish to surrender. And you feel this thing going, and it lets go. And you feel for 10 seconds or 20 seconds or a minute or an hour this sense of, I don't need that stuff. I have laid down my burden, which is meaning I laid down my story for this brief period. And what you feel when you do that is such a sense of freedom from you. Now you will feel all of these little inclinations to bring that stuff back because you are so much more familiar with your misery than you are with this deep space of surrender. This deep space of surrender has none of your ego mind in it. None. It's just not there. But ego mind is tenacious, persistent, and in many ways expresses a sense of essential aspect, like you don't exist without it. And so the fear of not having your shit rushes back at the first opportunity of what would be called unconsciousness. In other words, you finish your meditation, meaning, let's take this class, at some point I stop talking, and you get up and you start to come downstairs, and somewhere between getting downstairs and getting to your car, all of your stuff has rushed back at you, completely. You may not be aware of it 100%, but you can feel the weight of it gradually pulling you back down into familiar territory. And there you are, stuck again in yourself. And what you will probably do if you're committed to this practice is tonight before you go to bed or tomorrow morning, you will sit again and find your way back to, at least for a few moments, the peace that comes with letting go of you. And then the oscillation between the two. You get out of your morning meditation, get in the car, whatever, wash the dishes, and your mind is slipping back into the pattern. And that becomes really your life. The wonderful part of that is that at least you have moments of relief. Most people on this planet don't get that. They don't even know it's possible to get that. They think suffering is all there is. Or pursuit of this thing that you're going to get, wealth, recognition, family, money, comfort, that the pursuit of it is everything. And in a way, that's what motivates most lives, the pursuit of the other thing that you don't have. And for anyone who actually gets that stuff, and you all know them and maybe you're one of them, you know it doesn't work. And it doesn't work for a million reasons. One of them is the mind is never satisfied. The mind does not know how to be satisfied, because its whole goal is to keep you in motion, to keep you moving toward the future and away from the past. And it does everything to constantly destabilize you so that you remain a productive consumer, creator, whatever your role is in this manifested universe. Manifestation does not thrive on satisfied people. It thrives on dissatisfaction and unhappiness and fear. It really does. And it gives us all just enough pleasure, comfort, sweetness, joy to keep us in the loop, whatever that may be. So we're always involved in that drama. When you talk to people about the joy of letting all that go, they don't know what you're talking about. Most people have no clue. And in most instances, I can't even initiate a dialogue about it with somebody because they're so many millions of miles away from even beginning to conceptualize that there's another opportunity here. And those are the people who I say will take lifetimes. Something has to happen to finally tell you it doesn't work. Life is a sham on some level. It's a wonderful sham. It is an amazing thing that's going on here, but it's not wonderful if you engage it unconsciously, if you are a slave to it. What you want to become is free and aware of what this is. Free in yourself to truly witness the miracle that this is. It changes everything. The journey to that awareness is the primary story of human existence. And you have to go through, it seems, so many episodes of failure in order to finally get to the point where you realize you're on the wrong track. That there's something else going on here that you need to find and engage. And that's when people show up at this class or other classes and they go, I know something's not right in life and I want some kind of release. And even that wish, even when it's a strong wish, is very temporary, because what people really want is for themselves, their mind, their ego body, to be free of all that stuff. But what finally really needs to happen is the loss of that mind and ego body. That's really the thing we're all waiting for and the thing we most resist. Because ultimately, we want to have that thing, and that thing can't be had. What has to happen is the laying down of you, the loss of your separate self. That's what has to happen. Your ego mind finally falling away, and then the discovery of what remains. What remains? I read a line the other day, it was quite beautiful. I think it's Buddha. I think, Richard, you may have sent it to me. But it's basically Buddha being asked what he gained from his awakening. He said nothing. Nothing. But what he lost was fear, ignorance, sadness, all the, you can add to that list. He lost all that. And I'll tell you what happens. It's really interesting. You don't exactly lose that stuff. It's just there's nobody to own it. There's no one to own it. So there's still sadness and grief and all that other stuff. It's just there. It's just there. It's part of what I call the yin-yang of existence. But there's nobody to claim it. It just goes on. And if you don't claim it, it tends to arise and dissipate, arise and dissipate. You know, a lot of analogies in spiritual work describe the sky. And they say the sky is bright and brilliant and beautiful during the day, and then suddenly storm clouds come clashing in and thunder and lightning, and then beautiful sky, and then a incredible sunset, and then darkness, and then glimmers of starlight and maybe bright moonlight, and then sunlight again. This thing keeps changing all the time. It just keeps changing. But what doesn't change is that it's the sky. And this stuff arises in it and dissipates within it. It comes and goes. It comes and goes. Sadness, love, joy, misery, all of that stuff arises in us. But not in us with the name of, what, you know, Bruce, Bo. It doesn't have a name. It's just us. And what happens when the you falls away is you realize you're still there. You're still there. But it's not you. It's not you in the limited ego-minded sense. It's you as everything that is. There's a lot of talk in spiritual work about the absolute and about totality. That's what you are. You are the absolute. You are the totality. This is that. This is that very thing right here. We are that. Collectively and singularly that. That's all we are. Whatever this is, and we don't know what this is. I don't. But I know it is, and I know it has wondrous aspect. It has huge mystery attached to it. It seems unknowable, at least through the mechanisms of the human mind. But it's not something you can't experience and be. You are this. You are the very thing you've been seeking your whole spiritual life, your whole material life. You are this totality. And the only thing that separates you from this totality is your own mind-created story that tells you you're separate from it. Now, I can tell you this week after week after week after week, but until you realize it in some way or begin to live as if you knew it, it won't reveal itself to you. So it will just be conceptual. It will be an idea. Oh, I'm free if I can let go of me. And that's fine. Some of you will walk around going, oh, I'm spiritual. I get it. I understand it. No. If you understand it, you're still in trouble. You're in trouble because it's not graspable. And because there is no you to get it. There really is no you to get it. And if you begin to walk around feeling, hey, I got it. I'm spiritual. Stay away from those people. Because you can't advertise it that way. All you can do is live in the presence. Live in your own presence. Be real with it. And let me alert you. You will experience life in a vast, massive configuration of experience. The experience of life is happening. It's happening. A friend of mine says, it's a verb. It's all a verb. It's happening, and you are that happening. That's what you are. And it will continue happening, but there's no one to whom it's happening. On the other hand, we all have these ego minds. And I think what's really important, and I think this is essential in spiritual understanding, that even in a great awakening, in the greatest of awakenings, there is still this, in my case, Bruce. Still this Bruce. And he gets sad, and he gets confused, and he gets longing, and all these things go on. But it's so clear to the presence in which this Bruce exists that it's all part of this extraordinary whole. I've described in a class a few weeks ago, I think, this statue that I have, that I had in New York, of a great big dancing Ganesh, kind of Shiva-like, and free with multiple arms and standing on one little tiptoe, balancing everything on that tiptoe, and at the very bottom of that tiptoe is a mouse biting at its toe. That mouse is the ego mind, and it bites at us, it crawls at us, it wants to be heard, and every so often you will hear it. It will bite like that, and you will be very aware, and you'll be very in it. It's not to say, oh my God, I've lost it all. I'm no good, I failed. No, the totality of you includes that. It includes you as a separate piece and as totality at the same time. The absolute is everything. It's everything. And you are that. And to walk around not knowing that is to be deluded, to be burdened by your story, to constantly rehash the same old thing. Where did I go wrong? What did I do? Why didn't it work out? Why isn't it what it should be? Forget it. Forget it. And it's just as bad as when you get everything. You know, all these .com guys are trying to figure out how can you live forever, because they don't want to ever let go of this stuff. You know, I've got wealth, I've got position, I've got power. Why would I ever want to let go of that? Well, you may not want to, but I guarantee you there's no way to work it out. You're going to let go of it. It's going to be pulled away. And it's only when you can be gracious enough to hand it over that you can free yourself of all of this stuff. When it's pulled away, there will be another part of you resisting and fighting, and that thing will go on for eons. It's only when you finally say, "Thy will be done," you hand yourself over, you allow yourself to be free of your story. That's what we're working for. That's what's happening as we sit here in this class. We're all taking tiptoe steps into finally saying, "I'm going to do it now. This, I really want to do it." And I see a lot of you really do want to do it. And a lot of you, for approximately 8 seconds, pull it off. And it's pretty impressive, actually, to watch that. And I've watched how I did it. I mean, over the course of time, I would get 8 seconds of freedom and go, "Oh my God, I'm enlightened." And then I would come back, and then I would get 8 hours of it. And then, as I said to the introductory class today, I said, you know, you can get 8 weeks of it. You can actually get 8 weeks of going, "Oh my God, life is so beautiful." You touch it all. You feel alive on the freeway. You don't care if there's traffic. You don't care what's going on. You're just there. And you're in a state of almost constant gratitude and amazement. That's what happens. That's how you start to live. And then that ends, and you go, "What did I do wrong?" You didn't do anything wrong. It ends. Stuff ends. I said something today about you don't take a shower for 12 hours. You know, a shower lasts for whatever, 8 minutes, and it's wonderful, and it's warm, and it's delicious, but it has duration, and you move on. Great moments of bliss and joy have limited time frame. They come, be grateful, and then you move on. If you try to eat 17 gallons of strawberry ice cream, you're not going to end up happy. You cannot project that stuff into that kind of density. You have to take the moment and love it, and then the next moment and love it. Or not love it, just accept it and open to it. Be present with it. Being present with what is really at the source of liberation. Being present. Being present doesn't say, oh, I love this. Being present just is the thing that is loving itself. It loves itself. It's grateful for itself. It is aware of itself. It is present in itself. And that's really what we are, each one of us. Trust me, if I could sit down and just push the button in each of you and just say, this is it, you got it, and everything fell away, I would be totally delighted by that. But you all know how hard it is, and there are some of you who've been coming here for years, and you kind of edge toward it and edge away, edge toward it and edge away, and it's just this yo-yo effect of endlessly almost getting it and not getting it. This is not a waste of time. This is a process. It's just a process. I would love to change the nature of that process, but I don't have the power to do that. All I can do is sit here as often as possible and just remind you that just even a taste of surrender gives you a moment of infinite truth. The beauty of this practice is you get that taste. The beauty of coming here is you don't walk home empty-handed. You know something is real. You get an idea of what this is. You go, I like that. I would like more of that. And this will go on for a long time with you wanting it, and then, as I've said now many times, the you will disappear and there will be nothing but that. But until the you disappears, you're caught in the cycle of thinking you can somehow be the owner of truth. You are not the owner of truth. Truth owns you. So, you know, we're all on this ride, and when the universe realizes or knows that you are totally real and sincere in what you're reaching for, when it knows that you have proven your worth to it, when you have demonstrated that you have a hunger that is worthy of what it wants to give you, it will give it to you. Or more likely, it will take you away and reveal that you always had it. That's really what happens. So we keep this thing alive as long as possible, you know, and every time you show up here, it's another statement of asking. It's another statement of, I'm serious about this. And you just keep that going, and it will take place. I mean, the ancient teaching is it has already taken place. You're already that. Something will just go, click, and you'll go, oh my God, I've always been that. And that's kind of, in a way, the end of the story. It's really the end of your particular story. It's the resolution of a story, but it ain't the end. And then we'll see what happens next. Any questions?
Sorry in advance for personalizing this, but you know, it's 15, 16 years later. It's amazing to me that I really come. I feel like okay, I'm at the edge of it, but edge toward, edge back. Like I think I really want to be the owner more than I want to be the nothing. And I think my fear is my question. My fear is, you know, and giving up a unique self. And I guess the question is there a unique self in absolute reality? Is letting go of the you and becoming this, us, one, where does the self go? Is there a self?
The answer is when you let go of your, let's call it your ego self, the self that will remain, is every wonderful aspect of that ego self, except it won't define you. It will be part of your totality. You don't really become less, you really become more. You don't lose anything, really. You just kind of get it. you just get it in perspective. You know, the beauty of it is so extraordinary, but as long as you want it, it will not happen, probably. I know for me, it was really crucial to me to finally say, I don't care. I don't care if I get this. I'm going to live this life this way, whatever. I'm going to live a life of hoping to be compassionate and loving and giving. I'm going to live a life of sitting quietly and opening my heart, of touching whatever I can of true universal space and God consciousness. I'll do my best. That's what I'll do. It doesn't matter. And it was right at that point where they just wiped me out. And none of that's gone. I mean, do I look like a different person than I was, 4 years ago? And I saw this with Rudy. Rudy became Rudy. And I'm becoming what you call Bruce, But Bruce is like every one of you, the totality. In the extinguishing of you, you become everything, not nothing. You become this. Nothing goes away. It's not a bad thing. It's the thing you most want in the universe, but you can't own it. And you won't want to own it once it happens. Because how can you own this? You are this. What's the ownership? All you can do is walk around emanating it, being one with it, being a voice of it. And that's what you'll become. Everyone in this room will become a voice of conscious compassion and love, of wanting to help people, to be of service, to be kind, and sometimes to be angry and to be a shit. It'll happen. I was saying earlier that, you go to a cocktail party and this thing will work. You'll be so charming. Everyone will love you, but you'll have nothing to do with it. It just happens. It just comes out by itself because it knows what to do. There's nobody there to say, oh, I'm being brilliant. It's happening. And if you're not brilliant, if you actually forget people's names, which I do all the time now, and you make an ass of yourself, it doesn't matter. You just do it. And you'll find a way to recover. I forgot your name. Truth keeps coming out all the time. And sometimes you become, congested or unhappy or what, all this other stuff happens, and you just look at it and go, that's what it is. And you don't make it something that's going to be part of your story. It's just what is. And as like everything that is, it just passes. And then the next thing happens, and the next, and the next. Blanche and I just left New York after 15 years of living in this really paradisical environment, even though I wasn't aware of all of its paradise aspect until late in the game, because it was so much work. But it really was paradise. And leaving it was probably the most difficult thing so far that we've had to do. Losing that space was really hard. And I went through a whole big drama with the mind of losing status, losing beauty, losing a very comfortable and very reassuring environment. And I watched my mind go through all of this stuff, and it was really painful. And then that was gone. It just, all of a sudden, it wasn't there. And we walked away from this vast, beautiful place with an enormous sense of serenity and relief. And I was like, wow. I didn't do it. I didn't suffer. I didn't try to suffer the loss of it. And I didn't create the serenity that came at the end. It just unfolds. It's very Kubler-Ross in terms of, grief and all the stages. They just happened. And I watched it all happen, and it was pretty amazing. When you have this liberation to occur, to think that you will be above and beyond all that stuff. Not true. You're exactly that stuff. We're all that stuff. But life is suddenly so unbelievably real. It's so real and so complete and so absolute. And you are that thing. And you can't do anything but go, bow down before it. Or bow down within it. And be it. Because that's what you are. Anyway, there's no loss. There's no loss. You lay you down and you become free. You don't lay you down and disappear. You don't become nothing. You become everything. You've never been anything but that. The problem is the little bit of Andrew Wagner that you think you are is so minuscule compared to who you really are. You're this vast being, this vast infinite being. Who cares about that little thing except you? You know?
You know? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Except I still want. I want to hold on to that little life.
I get it. And what I keep wanting to say is, why? Once you let it go, you'll go, oh my God, why was I doing that? What value did it have? Zero. Zero. And yet we all do it.
Why am I doing it? Why am I choosing Andrew over freedom? Why
this? Because that
won't go away.
Because your mind is programmed to do this. Your mind is fighting. Your mind is what you identify with. And your mind is fighting to the death to be infinite and eternal. And it cannot be that. And so at some point, you will run into what everyone runs into is existential crisis. Because it's going to cease to be. And what are you going to do about that? If you can work it out before that crisis completely explodes, you will discover you're not that person and there's no crisis. And it just goes, boop, gone. And then you are this, whatever this is. They call it birthless, deathless, and I assume that's true. I don't know how that's all going to come about, but I do know it will be, I will say yes to it. There will be a yes, because it says yes to its own process. You know, the little bit of Bruce that's left, I mean, they're chopping away every piece of it. The little bit that's left is still going, you know, but I get to sit like this and be in the vastness of being, and poor little Bruce, I feel really compassionate for little Bruce, you know, but he does not run the show. He just doesn't run it.
The sensation I get is of fluidity, just staying fluid, not grabbing onto the shore, and sometimes for me it starts feeling like I'm one of those base jumpers that's going so fast, and you can't. I mean, there's nothing to grab onto, but you don't know if you're going to manage the ride.
Don't manage the ride. It manages itself.
Right.
You're moving it at warp speed.
Yeah.
We all are, you know. But the mind, the ego mind, slows it down and gives it a kind of context and makes you feel safe, but it's not real safety. It's not real safety because there's no you to save. You know, it's going to end up in failure, in total abject failure. And when you finally get that, if you're lucky, you go, enough. And you just let go of that stupid attachment. But most people don't do that. In lifetime after lifetime, I meet so many people who haven't begun to even wonder what's really going on here. They're not going to come to resolution at the end of this lifetime. I know they're not. They're going to be back again going, you know, give me a mind again to hold on to. Give me something to hold on to. And according to Tibetan teaching, you know, when you die, people who die afraid jump into the first incarnation they can find. First anything they can find, and they come in, they come into the world, like that. You know, when does it finally happen that you go, please, Lord, free me from myself? But it does. It does happen. It happens and will happen to every single soul, because that's how it works. It will happen.
It's just like it doesn't matter what speed it's at or what emotion it's at, you still have to do the same mechanism.
Well, also, speed is a relative term. So if you see the shore going by really fast, you think you're going really fast. Let go of the shore, there's no sense of speed. It's just whatever, it's just process. Okay. Mm. Anyone else? Okay. I think you all know, you know, it's complicated. Life changed for us a little bit when we heard we were having another grandchild. We are moving to Seattle, going up there tomorrow. And I will come back here when possible. I mean, actually, much of November and December, Blanche and I will be here. And classes will go on always, but we'll be teaching during that period. And then during the beginning of next year, we'll move to Seattle and come back here on occasion, and there will be classes. But you know, everyone who sits in this spot has something to give, you know, has something to present. And truly, I could put any one of you here. You should know that. Any one of you could sit here and do this. Because once you sit here, it does it and you don't. It takes over. And And in a way, maybe that's not a bad idea at some point, to give you all a shot at seeing what it is to sit in front of everybody. You know, unless your ego jumps in, and then you'll be in misery for an hour. But mostly, people get out of the way. They just get out of the way. And they let this flow happen. We are, you know, something real is going on here. That's all I can say. Something real is happening. If you're welcome to it. Any one of you is welcome to it. And it's so free. It's so available. It's not, there's no demands made on you. It's just here. So take advantage of that. We'll be back as often as we can. And look forward to seeing you when we are here. But thank you guys for coming today, because, you know, the more of you that are here, just so you understand how this works, as a collective, we're a collective. Each one of us that opens a part of the psyche of another person. We are a collective entity, and each one of us doing this work frees the other. It's really the value of this kind of gathering. So keep it going. Thank you for being here, and lots of love.